Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. This is episode 70, and today I have a conversation with artist Amy Jobes. Amy is an artist who paints imaginary or impressionistic landscapes inspired by the nature she lives in. She's currently also one of the artist mentors of the VAA, that's the Visual Artist Association, of which I'm also part of. And I encourage you, all artists who listen to this and don't know this, to become part of that amazing association. So, welcome, Amy. I really love it to have you as my guest.
Thank you, Karin. Thank you so much for asking me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. A real honor.
Well, it's an honor to have you and that you really came. Not everyone does that, you know? So I just jump in. You studied biology and geography, inspired by the nature around you. What exactly made you go into painting, or maybe better, why didn't you choose the arts to start with, to begin with?
It's a great question. I find myself answering this question quite a lot. I studied biology and geography and art at A level, and I loved all the subjects, but my real passion was the art and design. I mean, any opportunity I could, I'd be back in that room. And I really did want to study art at degree level. It really came down to being financially sensible. It's very boring, but I just wanted to be financially independent and live independently, have my own car, have a good social life, kind of go on a holiday. And I took what I saw as the more sensible option, really purely down to finances. So
happens so much.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? I felt like I wasn't well connected in the art world. You know, I'd been selling work since I was 15. I did a whole load of pet portrait commissions. At the time, they were quite fine graphite drawings. And I did some other commissions as well. I did a sketch map of the New Forest and painted the flora and fauna in watercolour. And I worked for some educational posters in watercolour. So a whole range of things. So I knew that I could make money from it. I just felt like if I did a science degree, I'd be able to get a proper job.
Is that coming from you, or were you brought up that way?
Because I
hear this so many times, and it's
it
often the parents who say, yeah,
no,
just choose a proper job.
No, my parents were very so at the time when I was making these decisions, they were ending their marriage. They were completely immersed in their own world, so I was very, very independent from the age of 17, mm-hmm. in terms of making my own decisions and feeling like I just had to stand on my own 2 feet. Yeah. So it wasn't pressure from them. It was me being really clear that I didn't want to have to rely on anyone else.
Yeah,
and I love the West Country. I love the southwest of England. So mm-hmm. I set my sights on Bristol and Exeter. And I actually got into Bristol. I got accepted on the geography course. But I chose Exeter because I paid my way through uni and it was cheaper to live there. But also, I love the campus. I love the fact that it was all on one beautiful, beautiful campus. And I mean, it was a brilliant time. I loved going to Exeter Uni. And why I chose biology and geography, you know, going back to the nature theme, I always said that it's the one subject that isn't created by humans. You know, nature's going to be there without us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and if I studied politics or economics, it's all just made up by us humans.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that the way that nature you know, the organic nature of it. I love the way that it just, it is, and it just keeps on emerging, and that these are systems that we haven't created. I find that really fascinating.
It is.
We don't have any control over it. Obviously, we are affecting it, but we don't fundamentally control what it does. So that really appeals to me.
That's very true. And I like that because, you know, when we were locked up in our rooms, in our houses, nature restored itself like crazy in no time.
Yeah.
But we try to manipulate and manufacture everything. Try to control it. And yeah. I think that's but you can't control nature. Well, you can, but, well, you see what happens.
Yeah, it's detrimental, I think.
Yeah. So you studied that, and then you went into arts. When did that happen? When did you had like, okay, I've had it. This is not what I want. It needs to be art.
Okay. So I did a number of jobs. I moved to Bristol after going to Exeter Uni and then traveling for a bit. And then I moved to Bristol. And I worked in a small company. It was a promotional gift house. And they also produced calendars and diaries. And there was an artwork department in this company with graphic designers. And I just even love the word art. And I'd get these emails coming through from that department who I worked really closely with, and it had the word artwork in it, in the email. And I just was like, this is where I need to be. You know, it's always, this is in my heart. This is truly me. And I never stopped painting. You know, while I was working, I was always doing different life drawing classes and evening painting classes. And always had a steady stream of commissions as well. I never stopped creating. Mm-hmm. And I really, really wanted to work with the Environment Agency. That's what I had my goal set on working there. And their head office, one of their head offices was in Bristol. So I remember applying for them, I didn't get in. And then got some more experience behind me working for this small business. And then I applied again. I got into the Environment Agency and I thought, if I can't be an artist, then I'd like to help to communicate to people about the environment. You know, in my mind, I had like creating leaflets, for example, to communicate different environmental issues. And that, you know, you could do that working for a charity.
Yep.
For me, working at the Environment Agency was the kind of level that I wanted. So I ended up doing that, actually. I ended up writing leaflets and concise communications about climate change. I worked on climate change for about 8 years there.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, it was an incredible experience. And I learned how to conduct myself professionally. You know, I mean, I'm old enough. I didn't grow up with computers around. So I had to start learning about computers when I was at uni and working with them. I was web publishing. It was something that I'm comfortable with. And I think that's a good foundation for running any business. And
nowadays you need to know something about a computer. Definitely.
Yeah, because it's really helped me with my reach, you know, using computers that has helped me to get to where I am now.
Yeah. And you just mentioned it, so you kind of answered the question. You say you're self-taught, but often self-taught, or most of the time, self-taught leads to a dead end because you simply can't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you overcome those issues on your journey?
I think it's a mixture of both. So going back to my GCSE A-level times, I had a really excellent art teacher. He was really great, like art history, all about composition, the use of colour theory. I mean, gosh, whenever I've retrained, if I've ever joined any workshop or course, I'm like, yeah, I know this. You know, it's a revision for me because he taught me when I was at a young age. And I've had feedback that I'm a good listener and I take things on board and I actually apply them,
yeah.
Which is really quite key when you're learning anything and when you're trying to achieve any goals as well. So yeah, like I really took on board everything he taught me. And, you know, there's a lot, isn't there? There's a lot to learn.
There's so much to learn. So much to learn.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I can see it in your work that you know you. About perspective and you know about the depth with your colors, even though it's an imaginary landscape.
Mm-hmm.
That landscape doesn't fall off the canvas.
No.
What you see, if people don't understand perspective, for instance, which you also can give a body when you use color solely, but you need to do you need to know that.
Yes.
But you say that already. You had a very good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the fact that he taught you color theory is something that in design, fashion industries learn, but not in art schools. An academy, they don't teach you color theory.
Really? Okay.
No. They you're focused on the values. So, and it's a minimal palette. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So that is a plus.
I mean, you can achieve a lot, you know, you can achieve perspective with value as well. Obviously the darker tones are going to be in the foreground, and as you get in the distance, it's lighter, and things like the saturated colors are in the foreground as well. And then as you go into the distance, it's more muted. And all of these things I have locked into my brain. So even when I'm working really quickly, I'm still applying those theories, even if it's subconscious.
Well, it's, I think when you learn things like that in a young age, it because your brain waves are in alpha state, you inhabit that. It becomes a second nature.
Yes.
And that's what it should be, isn't it?
Yeah, and going back to me saying that I'm self-taught, you know, I'm thinking maybe I should take it down because it's not true. I'm not. You know, I just haven't done an art degree. But I've had some incredible teachers through the whole journey. And I love learning. So even YouTube, if I need to refresh, there's so much theory around how to construct an oil painting with integrity, for example. And I'll go back and refresh, you know, fat over lean, thick over thin, all of that, making sure that.
But that is so true. And I yesterday I noticed that the National Gallery, someone put that online from this French post-impressionist. Gosh, forgot his name, but and she or he said, remember, he was self-taught and sold his whole life. Well, first of all, it's not true. He was a lawyer and had advice, he admitted, from prolific academics. And so he had his courses. At one point, everyone did some kind of teaching or education.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be a degree. I don't have a degree because what I wanted is you can't learn it on the academy. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, that did actually come into the equation. So, you know, I did the research and I asked people who had studied art at degree level.
Mm.
And I mean, I know it's not the same for everyone, but I heard some horror stories, people saying, well, I was actually really put off. You know, I enjoyed my foundation year. And then actually I was sent down a route that wasn't true to myself, and I don't like painting anymore. And I just did not want that to happen to me, knowing how important it was to me and how present I am when I'm painting, when I'm creating. And
in flow.
When you can get into that flow state, you know, it's an active meditation. It's a really powerful tool to carry you through this life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You forget everything.
I think everyone needs something in, you know, in their own lives. It could be, you know, a sport, it could be reading, you know.
As long as it comes from the heart.
Yeah.
I think we all need to do something that comes from the heart.